Hi, everybody. Welcome to Private Midwives podcast with me, Sharon Gaymer. I am a matron here at Private Midwives. I'm also a caseload midwife and carry a caseload of my own along with all the other stuff that I do. Today we are going to be looking at breastfeeding, obviously just off the back of National Breastfeeding Week. We're going to be looking at positive stories, positive breastfeeding stories. And I've today got three guests with me, three mums that have all experienced breastfeeding in different ways and have children that they've breastfed. So today I'm going to actually start with introducing the lovely Kaylee. Kaylee is a gentle sleep coach. She's also a psychosocial expert. Her background is in pediatric medical social work. But more importantly, I'm sure she'll say that she is a mum of two boys. She has Theo, who's three, and Noah, who's 17 months. Then we have Maria Boyle, who also has two boys. Both were breastfed. She stopped first breastfeeding at 1 year, and she's still feeding her youngest. And then we also have Marguerite. Marguerite is a midwife, an IBCLC, and a tongue-tie practitioner. She recently had her third boy. It's all boys today. Who's 10 months old. She's still breastfeeding him as well. So welcome, ladies. It's lovely to have you on board. It's lovely to see you all. And let's start with Marguerite. Marguerite, tell us a little bit about your breastfeeding journey to date.
Hi, Sharon. Thanks for inviting me. My breastfeeding journey to date has actually been quite wonderful. I mean, I have to say that I was one of those midwives who actually did not think that I would be able to breastfeed, because we do see quite a bit of issues and concerns in our journey. But yeah, once I had the baby, actually, I was able to start off breastfeeding right away. I had a home birth with each of them. And other than a few blips with tongue tie, it's been quite an amazing journey. And I am proud to say I've been breastfeeding now almost continuously for 8 years. Because I'm also an extended breastfeeder. I breastfed my other two until they were 7 and 5 and only stopped because I was pregnant with this one. And we're now at 10, almost 11 months. So, yeah, it's been quite good.
I know that you, especially Marguerite, have been involved in some, you know, some movements in terms of like getting breastfeeding out there into the public, getting breastfeeding to be accepted. I saw recently that you were part of Fleurice Transport for London free to feed campaign. It was fabulous to see you sat on the tube there next to Fleurice. So we were like, oh, that's one of our own midwives here at Private Midwives. Tell us a little bit about that, because I know that you're quite active in some sort of breastfeeding campaigns out there. Tell us a little bit about those.
Yeah, one of the things about breastfeeding is the convenience for me, the ability to breastfeed my baby when and wherever I wanted to. So it's really important for me that women, I know that sometimes they come and they say, oh, I'm worried about when I'm going out. I want to be able to give my baby potentially a bottle to go out. And I say, well, yes, absolutely. We can support you to give a bottle at home and when you're out and about, but you shouldn't feel that you have to give a bottle when you're out and about. It's absolutely fine to breastfeed in public. We have legal protection to do that wherever we're able to have our babies. We're able to breastfeed them. So being able to show people that. And I was invited to be with Fleur on that campaign to show that you can breastfeed on the tube. And it was a wonderful day meeting up with a lot of other mums who were able to, you know, tell us their little bits of their story in between doing the photos for the breastfeeding on the tube. So that was a great day to be out and about breastfeeding my baby.
It's wonderful. The press release for that was just fabulous, and seeing all these mums, you know, with pumps in their bras on one side and baby feeding off the other breast, was just a fabulous picture. It's fabulous pictures to see. I know that you're also involved in breastfeeding for Black mothers. Tell us a little bit about that and the stigma, or, you know, that's surrounding and breastfeeding in general. But I'm presuming, you know, with there being a movement, that there's obviously more stigmas attached to that.
Yeah, no, actually, it's really great. So in 2012, Black Breastfeeding Week was started in the US. I'm not actually from the US, I'm from Barbados in the Caribbean. But before I had my baby, I didn't realize how difficult it is for women from my background sometimes to breastfeed, and what kind of information we get to breastfeed and what kind of cultural issues we have with breastfeeding. And so one of the things I learned was when they first started Black Breastfeeding Week in the UK in 2013, was that actually a lot of advice we're given culturally is not as supportive of breastfeeding as it should be. For example, a lot of us have sort of historic breastfeeding trauma, which comes from the fact that we were, when in back in the way back in the past, we were actually breastfeeding our sort of our master's children. And so therefore it was really important for us to be able to breastfeed our own children. Yeah. And our grandparents and our parents still took information from back in that day about how it would be better for us to give other milks to our babies and especially get them started on feeding other foods earlier on. So 3 and 4 months, as opposed to the 6 months, which has been become the more recommended time to start weaning. We weaned our babies really early. So even my parents were like, "Ooh, when are you going to give your baby other milk? When are you going to give your baby food?" All of that thing. And I had to explain to them that that's not necessary. Maybe back in the day it was necessary when we had other priorities, but now we don't have those priorities. And we know the benefits for mom and baby of breastfeeding exclusively until 6 months are there. So being able to move, push against that cultural bias against early weaning so that I could breastfeed my babies until 6 months exclusively was really, really great for me. And then to carry on breastfeeding, and then knowing that actually most women in the UK generally will stop breastfeeding, or only 1% will be breastfeeding after 6 months, and even less in terms of Black women breastfeeding after 6 months. It's quite horrible, the rates in the UK. So the Black Breastfeeding Week is all about encouraging women to extend their journeys if they want to continue to breastfeed up until a year, and then even beyond that. So for me, being able to breastfeed past a year and up until the World Health Organization recommendation of 2 years, and then going into off the deep end and into breastfeeding into toddler and even childhood. Yeah, it's really important to be visible. And like I said, doing that in public as well, when needed. It's nothing to be that you shouldn't be able to do in public. I have had looks. But when you explain to them the benefits in terms of the benefits for me in terms of reducing of some cancers, I have a history in my family of cancer of the breast. And so for me, it was really important to know that the longer that I breastfed, the less my risk is of getting cancer. My mother's had cancer twice. When my mother started breastfeeding me at 3 months, my grandmother felt that it was appropriate to say, well, okay, that's enough. As the firstborn child, my mother was like, oh, okay, my mother's saying that's enough breastfeeding. And so she weaned me onto formula. And as we know, there are a lot of formula companies who went into the Caribbean and Africa and encouraged mothers, even up until the 1990s, and even nowadays, actually, to wean their children onto formula because it was supposed to be marketed as much better for them in terms of nutrition. But we know that that's not so. The nutritional benefits of formula are very good, but we know that breast milk from the mother is the better form of nutrition. And so I'm really happy that I was able to get past that point and to breastfeed my children exclusively for the first 6 months, and that I was able to continue after the first 6 months until a year and beyond that, and getting into feeding toddlers and children. Not something I planned to do, but it just sort of happened because it was more convenient for me to do that than to use other methods of nutrition at times. It's always available and ready for them.
Did you come up against any resistance from your mum during that time? You know, like, did she, because obviously she wouldn't have had an understanding of it because it wasn't culturally what she'd done, and you probably not what her mother had done. So was there resistance, or was there just, you know, there was support, but after a lot of explanation?
Yeah, it was more like there wasn't resistance exactly. There was just a lot of questioning about why I was doing what I was doing and what the benefits were for me and why I would need to do that. And then after I was able to explain to them the benefits and support, but actually culturally, it's so strong in their heads that actually the baby must have water when it's hot, and especially in hot places, even in cold places, when they would visit me in the UK, they would say, oh, why aren't you giving baby water? And I would explain to them again and again. So it's very hard to get away from those cultural biases, even though they wanted to be supportive of me, and they were able to understand what I was doing because I was able to explain to them the benefits for their grandchild. But they were very keen to understand why wasn't I doing these things, even though I explained over and over again. So yeah, there was a little bit of pushback.
Can I ask, do you think that, I mean, obviously you're one of our lovely midwives here at Private Midwives, and I wonder, you know, your own breastfeeding experience, do you think that the support that you've given women over the years that you've been a midwife has changed, or, you know, you've benefited from your own experience when it comes to being able to impart that experience to your clients?
Yeah, definitely. I think so. When I came to breastfeeding myself, I would benefit from the fact that I had a very close friend who was able to breastfeed relatively easily, even after a difficult start. And so she was able to breastfeed really well. And so therefore, that formed part of my experience in my own breastfeeding journey. And then when my breastfeeding journey started off with quite a simple birth, no complications, and I was then able to breastfeed, I was able to take that on and say, well, you know, it helps, but it doesn't mean that just because you have a complicated birth that you need to think that it's going to be complicated in breastfeeding. I hear a lot nowadays about women coming to me and saying, oh, I'm planning a cesarean section, or if I have a cesarean section, it'll be difficult to breastfeed. And actually, I can say, no, that isn't necessarily a thing. We have to see every journey is different. And being sure about being able to tell people, and as we've gone on, it's become more popular in terms of colostrum harvesting, not just for complications, but also for just normal feeding to collect colostrum in pregnancy. And also even in that, saying, for example, for myself, I was never able to collect any colostrum in pregnancy. I tried all three times and actually it didn't come easily to me. So that's my difficulty. But actually, even if you don't collect colostrum, you will still be able to breastfeed. But I do encourage women to collect colostrum, because I think it's also not only about the collection of the colostrum and having that available if they have problems immediately after the birth, but it's also about the fact that getting to know their own breasts, being able to see how the milk might come out or will come out, and therefore that gives them confidence when the baby is born, knowing where the baby should be latching on to be able to get the milk to come out. So yeah, even if you don't collect any, you still learn that experience of your own breast physiology.
Absolutely.
So that's great.
Absolutely. Thank you, Marguerite, for your input there. And the stuff, you know, about the Black Breastfeeding Week, is so important that people that know that. So I'm really glad that we've been able to talk about it on this forum, and we can get it out there, and people can, if they want to go and find out more about it, do you know where they can go to get more information about it?
Yeah, definitely. So Black Breastfeeding Week was brought to the UK by one-to-one doula, Ruth Dennison. She has a website. She brought it to the UK and she advertises about it. And you can also just Google Black Breastfeeding Week and you'll find so much information about the cultural basis for it and the health implications and why it's important that we do that. And I also love participating in the British Breastfeeding Week when that happens, and breastfeeding month when that happens. It's so great to like see other mothers come out and talk about breastfeeding and getting involved and showing other mothers, going to groups. One of the things I impress on women is, even if your breastfeeding journey is really simple and really no complications, doesn't mean that you shouldn't attend breastfeeding groups, because getting together in a group is really supportive to other mothers and supportive to you and empowers you to feel confident in your feeding.
Absolutely.
Even if you don't have any conditions or problems. So going to breastfeeding groups really helps, and with you as well.
Thank you so much for your input today, Marguerite. I really appreciate it. For all the listeners out there, if you need to have a look at Private Midwives, if you're thinking about looking at our resource page or having a postnatal package to help, we do intensive breastfeeding packages where a midwife will come in every day for a week, or we just do, you know, your normal postnatal packages, as well as obviously lots of other resources on the website and on our social media. So you can find us at privatemidwives.com for our website. You can find us on all social media platforms. You can hear the podcast obviously on all of the other platforms like Spotify, Amazon Music, that kind of thing. Our Instagram is private midwives. I think it's private_midwives actually. And then we are on TikTok as well, where we have some fun little videos and things. So please do go along and have a look. Thank you both, ladies, for and Marguerite, thank by you. The way, people, Marguerite was on holiday in Greece. And so we've said goodbye a little bit earlier to Marguerite and thank her so much also for bringing such a wonderful insight into Black breastfeeding, you know, breastfeeding for Black mothers, and also the Transport for London free to feed campaign. So thank you all for coming along today. It's been fabulous having a chat. I know that hopefully when we do our next positive birth one, that I'm hoping to be able to entice both Kaylee and Maria back to talk about their positive birth story. So you may hear from them again, everybody's. But for now, thank you very much. Bye.